today on Real Radio.
Christianity cannot be worked out by human means. It is literally impossible. Was never designed to, and it cannot. Christianity only happens among the family of God who are possessed by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of God that causes Christianity to happen in your life. The Holy Spirit moves in you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About the Church, Part 2, continues a series now called Who Told You? Oftentimes, our doctrine is based on past experiences or outside influences. In this series, we'll learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture reveals. In Part 1 of this lesson, we learned that we are one body in Christ, and as a Christ-centered community, we're also a family of born-again believers, using our gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. We also learned that as a family, we are united in proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And together, we take a stand against the evil of our day. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that as a church of born-again believers, we have a new spirit called the Holy Spirit of God. And with the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we don't have to live on feelings or stagnate over criticism. Instead, we're able to walk in love as we share Christ with those around us. And now, continuing his lesson called Who Told You About the Church, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
But you know what's great about being in the family of God? We have a new father. Look, I did not enjoy my dad. I did not enjoy my earthly father. I was born into a family that I wasn't supposed to come into. My dad had a plan for me to be exterminated in the womb, but I survived that, and all my life, it just wasn't a good deal. And I know this is an exaggeration, but it feels like my dad spoke to me in my lifetime maybe 10 times, like a fingers you could count. And I'm sure that's an exaggeration, but it was never very close. There was no touching. There was no hugging. There was none of the words, I love you. None of that stuff. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not lamenting right now. It caused me, in my mind, in my heart, to understand that when I heard the gospel, there must be a father. This father in the Bible is different than an earthly father. And it was hard for me to grasp the love of the heavenly father. That took me a long time to begin to entertain that. But I grew up in a home where nothing was free. If you wanted it done, you get it done yourself. And no one's going to help you in life. And you don't turn to anybody. And when you say something, you don't need any contract. My dad told us no contracts are needed. If you say something, you keep it. And I don't care if you lose everything in life. You never go back on your word. You never lie. You never change. You don't move the decimal point. And I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My dad was a Marine. It was a moral home. It was a hardcore home. My dad taught judo in the Marine Corps. And you didn't mess with my dad. But my dad did not know how to express love and care. But 7 days before my dad died, he accepted Jesus Christ. And in 7 days, my dad told me he loved me more in 7 days than he did in my entire life. What happened? My dad made it into the family of God, and it took this strong Marine, and it turned him into a little cuddly mush ball. And thank God he only survived 7 days, because I don't think he could have ever lived that down. My dad wanted to hug, he wanted to kiss, and he wanted to hang on and tell you that he loved you. God does that on the heart. He brings his characteristics from the inside out. And the Bible tells us that we now put that old man of our old life aside, and Christ now lives through us. We have a new father. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, 1 John 3, 1, the Bible says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. I'm going to pause at that comma. You see that? See, behold, look, stare at what great love the Father has lavished upon us. Do you know God like this? The God of the Bible wants you to know him like this. There's nothing weak in this. There's nothing wimpy in this. The God of all eternity who became a man. He's spirit, came from heaven to earth and lived 33 and a half years in this wretched world. And he died on a cruel cross all by his prophetic plan to die for our sins and to be resurrected from the dead and turn right around and announce to us, for God so loved, can I say lavished us with his love? So much that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that if you would believe on him, trust him, rely upon him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. Free, cost God everything, but it's absolutely free to you, which makes it anything but cheap. Amazing, this love. God loves you, his great love. Also, I'm encouraged at the fact that the new family that we have a new relationship, we have a new father, and we have a new spirit. We have a new spirit that empowers us. I want to announce to all of you that as Christians, if any of us at any time have ever given you the image or picture that you're supposed to grab your life by the bootstraps and pull yourself up and you make your Christianity happen, I want you to know that we were wrong if we've ever said or insinuated such things. Do you know you can't do Christianity? You can go do some cult. You can go do some religious group. You can go sit on a hilltop and focus on your navel with a pyramid on your head and you can hum all you want, burn incense. You can do whatever you think, whatever. Listen, it's not going to work. Just want to tell you right now. Well, I'm going to take a class in comparative religions. Do it. Not going to work. Well, I'm going to join some religious order. Go ahead. It's not going to work. Well, I've turned over a new leaf. I'm going to pursue this. Not going to work. All of these things, they don't work. Great intentions. God bless you for your thought. Christianity cannot be worked out by human means. It is literally impossible. Was never designed to, and it cannot. Christianity only happens among the family of God who are possessed by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of God that causes Christianity to happen in your life. The Holy Spirit moves in you. Don't get up and say, well, I'm going to do Christianity now. Well, I'm going to roll up my sleeves. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try to eat less. I'm going to try to cuss less. I'm going to try to drink less. I'm going to try to do, and fill in the blank. I'm going to try to do less porn. I'm going to try to do less fill in the blank. Go ahead. It's not going to work. Until you understand that when you come to Christ, there's a voice that begins to echo from within you, and you know it when it happens. He's very, very interesting, he is. Because you know what's funny? I've heard God speak, but I've never heard God speak like you might be thinking. Like when God speaks, what does he sound like? Jack, this is God. He doesn't talk like the guy in the movie trailer. That'd be awesome. And it's kind of scary. I want you to get up and open your Bible in a world gone mad. You know, no, that'd be cool, but he doesn't do that. You know what God does? He speaks in what is called a still, small voice. And that still, small voice, listen carefully, especially skeptics in the house, that still, small voice, God uses your voice inside your head, which I find now brilliant because after 41 years of being a Christian, my voice is the only voice I'll listen to. I figured that out. But you know instantly when God speaks using your voice in your head, by the syntax or by the sentence structure, by the words that are used are not your words. You don't form sentences that way. You don't even talk like that. And when God speaks, you know it's him. He got your attention. It's your voice in your head. And the whole statement is something other than you. And you know it's him. And when he does it, I tell you, when he does it, there's nothing like it. And you know, you say, well, Jack, I don't know, I love God, but I've never heard that happen. I'm not saying that has to happen that way. I'm saying that when he speaks, you'll know on the inside that he's speaking to you. He uses his word. But it's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. You go wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father. And when he comes, the Holy Spirit will come and he'll give you power. We get the word, English word, dynamite. From the word dunamis, the Holy Spirit will come and empower the believer, and the Holy Spirit lives through you. You don't have to have all of these corrections in your life. I'm going to do that. No, he'll do it. And listen to him when he says it. And there's power in that. But not only power in that, but listen. There's another form of power that he manifests. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, very familiar scene, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. You may know that they're all gathered together. It's the Pentecost season in Jerusalem. By the way, historians tell us that Pentecost was more people attended Pentecost in Jerusalem than Passover. It was Israel's most crowded feast, the Feast of Pentecost. And 2,000 years ago, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they've now approached the end of it, they were all, that is the believers, they were all with one accord. That means this is awesome. The word one accord means that they were all talking about the same thing. So we know from the Bible, anybody remember how many of them there were in this room that's being described? 120. In this particular room, there were 120 believers gathered together, and Penta, you know what Penta means? Five. The Pentagon, five-sided building. Penta, Pentecost, the 50 day. 50 days after Jesus had ascended to heaven, it just so happens that on the full day of Pentecost, the feast, something happens. 50 days later, this happens that we're about to read, Acts chapter 2. They're in one place together. Verse 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Where's the source? Heaven. What was it like? As of a rushing mighty wind. You know what that word means? It was anything but wind. Isn't that cool? Whatever it was, it wasn't a windy day. Whatever it was, nobody's hair blew, nobody's robes were blowing. There was no movement of wind. It sounded like wind, and whatever it was, it came from heaven. What else? It says there that it filled the whole house. What did? The original language suggests that light filled the room in a singular form. What does that mean? There was some form of emanation appearing before the 120 that caused light to shine throughout the entire room. But it came from a source. It's one, allow me for argument's sake to say, one flame or one ball of presence. Watch what happens. Keep that in your mind's eye. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak. Watch how it was they began to speak. Look at verse 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And he sat upon each of them. It sat upon each of them. That ball I'm talking to you about, that central point of light or flame or emanation, began to break up, and it hovered over each of the 120. And it, you know, you've seen cartoons or drawings of this. It looks like tongue, like somebody's tongue that's like this. Or it looks like little flames of fire. We don't know. They're trying to describe something that is of a heavenly nature that's never happened before. And they're saying, oh, we can tell you it came from heaven. And when it came, it was like a really wild wind. And everyone was filled with the Spirit. This thing began to break up and hover over the people. And what happened? The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that as they began to speak, it says they spoke in other tongues. That word there is all other known languages of the world. And if you read the chapter, there's people there. There are people from Cyrene. There's people from North Africa. There's Egyptians there. There's people from various parts of Europe. It's gathered. It's listed right there. They began to hear these Galileans speak, and they spoke in known languages of the world. Can you imagine never studying Portuguese or German or Russian? Can you imagine? You're a Galilean. You're just a farmer, but you've been waiting in this room. The Holy Spirit comes, and you start speaking in Russian, and there's Russian believers there, and they're hearing you speak in perfect Russian all the glories of God. And the people stood up, if you read the chapter later, and they said, how is it that we hear these Galileans speaking the wonderful works of God in our own languages? And from that moment on, a revival broke out in the church, and the church went to the ends of the earth. God wants to use his power in the family of God. God wants to move in our midst. I believe that. I refuse to believe anything other than. Dr. Charles Ryrie says, and I quote, a local church is a gathering of those who, number one, profess faith in Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you, do you have faith in Jesus Christ today? Would you say today you're a member of the church, of Jesus' church? Not this church, forget this church, Jesus' church. Are you a member of Jesus' church? Well, let me ask you, have you professed faith in Christ? That means, do you know, do others know that you're a follower of Jesus by your conduct? Do they know that? I'm not here to bum you out, I'm here to give you the truth. You may be leaning towards religiosity. Well, I appreciate that, but don't let your religiosity get in the way of knowing God. Do you have a little thing inside of you that you want to get near to God? Then by all means, get near to him. But understand this, to profess Christ as Lord and Savior, that presupposes that you have a relationship with him. Number two, Dr. Ryrie says, who have been baptized. Have you professed faith in Christ? Well, the next thing is to get you baptized publicly. To proclaim Christ publicly in baptism. Have you been baptized? You need to be baptized. These are fundamentals. Third, Ryrie writes, Dr. Ryrie, who have organized themselves to worship. You know what worship is. Worship, proskuneo. The word is, how many of you have dogs? I don't know if cats do this. Raise your hand if you have a dog. Come on, raise your hands high. Is that it? How many of you cats? How many of you don't have any animals at all? Raise your hand. What's wrong with you people? What's wrong? I was going to, let me see the dog owners again. Raise your hands. I'm really concerned about this. A little bit more honest there. You're making it up to make me feel better. I don't know. But have you noticed a dog, if you have a real dog, have you noticed that a real dog, when you come home, have you noticed, or you can just be home, out of the blue, they'll just walk over to you, and they'll start licking your hand. If you don't have a dog like that, you should have a dog like that. That word in Greek is proskuneo, to lick the hand. That's the Greek word for the Christian worshiping God. What does that mean? It means that dog just, have you noticed you go to the mailbox and you come home? You just go to the mailbox and you come, you've only been gone for 30 seconds and that dog treats you like you've been gone for a month. It's like, yeah, I'm so glad you're home, you're awesome, you're so awesome. Proskuneo, the Christian is supposed to be like that with the Lord. Listen, is it important to you to worship God? Is it important to worship him either privately or publicly? Both should be important. Or do you view worship as a time to get to church and out of the church? The Christian must worship God. We're so appreciative and thankful. He's worthy of our worship and praise. That's part of being in the family. The family comes together and worships God because we know him. And by worshiping God, we get to interface with one another in worship. Know him even more. Ryrie goes on, number four, with a result that effectively influences others for the cause of Christ. Everywhere you go to influence others for the cause of Christ. By the way, it's officially that season. Somebody got me in the parking lot just the other day. Somebody shouted, and now it's open. It's open season. You know what it is? This guy got me. I was minding my own business, walking across the parking lot. And this guy just goes, Merry Christmas, Pastor Jack! And it was so hypocritical of the world because everybody stopped and looked like we were nuts while they're selling fake Christmas trees and all the lights for your house and Bambi and all that other junk up there. And we shouted Merry Christmas to each other, and they looked at us like we were crazy, and they're the ones selling all the Christmas junk. No, it's open season. We see each other now. Are you guys ready? Everywhere, open season. We see each other. I don't care if it's across Costco. I don't care how big the building is. You shout it, Merry Christmas, Pastor Jack. I'll shout it back, and watch how quiet the store goes. Oh, it's so much fun. Are you guys with me? Are you in? Let's do it. Okay. It's open season, open season. Six things I want to point out about being in the family, about being in a family. Before I give you the six things, we need to remember that we're supposed to love and protect and look out for one another as a family. Whatever family you grew up in this world, I don't know, good, bad, or ugly. Listen, you need to cast that aside. We're in the family of God now. We need to care for each other. We've got it really easy right now. No one's shooting up churches in California yet. We haven't had an earthquake. Nothing's burning down near us. What else is going on? Oh, we haven't had a hurricane. What else happens around here? Whatever. You know what? But time's coming. I thank God. This time last week, we announced it. This time last week, Texas was reeling from some lunatic atheist going in and shooting up a church. And all week long, what has happened in Texas? An amazing display of love from all across the nation. Remarkable. Listen, I'm not a prophet. I would never pretend to be one, but we're just on the time factor here in California, right? Iraq had that massive earthquake before service. What about California? Something's going to happen where our love is going to be put into action. Bad stuff happens in this world. God may not cause it, but you know what? God will capitalize on it. And he does that with the love of his people, acting like a family. We need to lay down things that are different. Well, you know, you're not the right color. Well, you're not rich enough. You're not poor enough. You're not whatever enough. Listen, have you noticed when you get sick? When you're real sick, have you noticed that you not only don't care if your gown is closed or open? You know when somebody's not sick, when they go to the hospital and they're like this. No, don't look. They're not sick. When you're sick, you don't care if you have a gown on or not. You want to get fixed. You know what I'm talking about? And when life shakes and love happens, no one's going to be bickering back and forth about, well, you know, would you go to first or third service? What race are you? What economic level are you? All that goes out the window. And love happens. And I love that because we're in a family. And we need to just get in the mindset that God would have us act like a family. And all of a sudden, in the near future, you'll be meeting faces and names of people that you may have never met before. They sat two rows down from you, and they're loving on you and they're helping you. We need to stick together. Why? Number one, a church should be accustomed to criticism. You and I live in a world where a church that stands for Jesus and is a family of God, notice we're not a family in the world. We're going to stand for Jesus, and we're going to be criticized. Are you a Christian? Does anybody know that? You're going to be criticized. Is this church criticized? All the time. I'm grateful. In fact, I want to show this slide. This is an awesome slide by Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon says, if the devil never roars, the church will never sing. Think of that for a moment. God is not doing much if the devil is not awake and busy. I like that thinking. Depend upon it. A working Christ makes a raging devil. When you hear ill reports, cruel speeches, threats, taunts, and the like, believe that the Lord is among his people and his working gloriously, said Charles Spurgeon nearly 200 years ago. I like that. In my life, am I doing anything in a righteous way, in a godly way, in a way that goes against the grain of the world, and the world doesn't like it? You'll know it by being criticized. Oh, note to self, don't depend or pick on a person or a church based upon their Yelp review. Think of that. If a church really lives, think about it. If we really live like Jesus wants us to live, it's not going to go over well on Yelp. Because he was hated, as we saw last week, the most.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Who Told You About the Church, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that in all you do, you are rooted in God's Word and in His Church. Who Told You About the Church, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, and the future of His Church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. And this month's book of the month is called The Attributes of God, Volume 1 by A.W. Tozer. In this book, Tozer invites us to look into what the Father reveals about himself. It's a scripture-based journey that examines God's grace, mercy, justice, holiness, and goodness, among other things. Be sure to pick up The Attributes of God, Volume 1 by A.W. Tozer when you go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.